The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 17th already. Can you believe it? In the middle of July 2016. Go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, 10 paragraphs, think, commit, take action. That's what we're all about. Also, the two biggest products to date. Strength Time, let's see, what the heck was that one? I'm trying to think of, well, the Winner's Circle is one. I just went like blank because I'm thinking about a whole bunch of stuff with streaming right now. Strength times power equals success. That's what it is. That's what I said first, and I was thinking of the other one. But either way, both products are incredible. We do all the work here. No one writes our content. Anybody that would like any help with it, go out to, you can contact me at Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com. Strength times power equals success. It's an interchangeable program. I've used that to, like Dennis, I knocked 43 pounds off him with that program in 6 months. I use it for any, especially teenagers coming over here, the way we start with sandbags and different forms of weightlifting, but ways to put them in the driver's seat without killing them initially, especially mentally. If you like what we talk about here, the Winner's Circle is 12 modules, and basically it's myself. If you like my philosophy, if you like the way we train here, you're going to get everything on there. There's everything from learning how to use a power rack to sandbag training, to stone training, to high shrugs, to the old school York iron boots, to learn how to do a bent row properly, barbell curls, and I don't mean some kind of cheat stuff, learning how to strictly use them with the different size bars and all that. So go out and check that all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, too, this is a big thing. We have Rick Brown on here today, and before I bring this gentleman in, this is a big thing because I know people have always mentioned to me about content, you know, how big you got it and all the stuff you have. Well, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast and go out and look at all the ones I've done with Rick already. You know, have another brand new one today, but go out and look at any of the people on here. We have Bill Crawford on here, Rainer Wartell. I just put a show up with James Fuller, Jed Johnson, Paolo Veduto, Adrian O'Brien, John Wood, Chase Carnes, Bud Jeffries, Mike Gillette. The list goes on and on. We had Wade Johnson on, and one of the biggest favorites on this show is Dr. William Wong. I mean, Mike Bruce. We had Mark Watts on from Elite Fitness. Anybody knows him? And one of my favorites, too. Clint Darden, who's been a great guy to me and to the show, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but I'll be here for quite a while reading, and we're getting ready. I think by the end of August, maybe early September, we'll be at our 500th episode, and we are going to probably do some stuff with that. And one of the big announcements I'm going to make before I give the bio on Rick is this. This is big for everybody listening to the show, our family, and everybody that's on the show. Motivation and Muscle now is streaming live 24/7. We're with a couple different people that will stream the show right now. I'll get into more of that. But if you got the capability in your car for podcasts, now you can listen to us on AHA. That's AHA. Motivation and Muscle now can be found in your car if you have the stereo, or now aftermarket, they make them too. So check all that out. Well, today we got our good friend Rick Brown here, and I'm going to give you a little bit of bio on this gentleman. Number one, he's a mace training expert, kettlebell trainer, an unconventional athlete, and very good speaker. We know that he has, I'll call them clinics, or seminars, whatever you want to do, but you know what it is? It's a great way to get together, learn a lot of information from one another, and find these guys and girls that are just top-notch teachers, because I'll tell you what, I know in my life, a good teacher really has a big effect on you as a man or woman. So, Rick, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. I'm delighted to be here again.
Well, we're always glad to have you here. And, you know how quick time goes. I mean, you're back another month later. It's incredible. I mean, I don't know where the summer's going. Let me put it that way. But I'll tell you one thing. In Albany, New York, it has been scorching hot here, high humidity, and that's just like the dog days of summer, as they call it. It's like that today. I got a train tonight. I haven't gone out in my garage the last two times I've trained, and it hasn't been any cooler than 103 in there. So it's been pretty damn warm here. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about clubs and weights. I've been wanting to do this with Rick for a while. I mean, if you listen to Rick and I in previous shows, I mean, he was a weightlifter, obviously, but he found his niche with the maces and the kettlebells and the clubs and all that stuff. And what I want to do with him today, which I thought would be a very good idea, because most of the people listening to this show, we know, you know, they could be strong men, strong women, weightlifters, they use all of it. I'm sure they use clubs. I mean, I'm using Donnie's 8X club now to really keep my shoulders in good shape. But I want to see how he would marry it into the weightlifting or the strongman. And are we going to do it on a specific day? Or are we going to specialize on it one day? Or is he going to join it right into our training for whatever we're going to do that day? So, Rick, if I missed anything, you know, websites, anything like that, please give that out, and we'll start on today's show, if you would, please.
Okay. First of all, I'm on Facebook under my name, Rick Brown. R-I-K is how I spell it. That's the best way to find me, R-I-K Brown. Also on Instagram under at Mr. Maceman. And those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. But when it comes to the mace or in this particular instance the club, let's make it simple. The club is a short mace. The mace is a long club. Okay, let's not complicate it any more than it needs to be. You do different moves with a club and a mace. There are some moves that you can do together, that are the same. But basically, a club is a resistance applied away from your body, a little farther than a kettlebell, a lot farther than a dumbbell. Mm-hmm. And of course, the mace would be a greater extension of that. But for those people who are interested in a club, nobody picks up a club and says, okay, I'm going to go do a full routine and stuff like that. You add it right slowly into what you're doing. It becomes another arrow in your quiver. It's something you add to your already existing routine. It doesn't have to take the place of anything. It's a good addition. You don't pick up a club and now all of a sudden you're a club swinger and you're nothing of what you used to be. It's just something you add to what you do. And I think it's really important, Eric, to point out the difference between traditional club, what they call Indian club swinging, and what is more commonly known today as modern heavy club swinging. The traditional Indian club swinging, they're done with wooden clubs generally, and they weigh 5 pounds or less. Sometimes the clubs that were used in Persia, Iran, and in other countries in India, they're called joris, J-O-R-I, and they weigh substantially heavier. But because wood is not as dense as steel, the size of these clubs, even if they weigh just 10 kilograms or 22 pounds, they're enormous. They're like telephone poles, cut down to 2 or 3 feet, but they only weigh 10 or 20 pounds. Now, when we get into the more modern clubs, because steel is so dense, a club the size of a baseball bat can weigh 30 to 40 pounds. Okay. So it's important to note that distinction. If you're interested in Indian club swinging, the traditional that has been done for hundreds of years, is still done in India. If I could give out a resource, the best person to look up on that, and you should get him on your show, is Paul Wolkowinski. He's out of Australia, and he's the most, in my opinion, the most knowledgeable man on the planet today on Indian club swinging. I've trained with him twice, because he travels the world, and when he comes to Southern California, I meet with him. And he's the best. When you want to learn from the best, he's the best. So that's somebody for a future show for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you one thing? And I mean, we'll talk offline, obviously. Is Paul somebody I can get through with Facebook, or would you have to do an introduction for me?
No, you can find him on Facebook.
Okay.
I'll tell you all that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that. You make a perfect point though about clubs, and this is one thing that you know, I definitely want you to comment on, because maybe you're leading right into it. I don't want to cut you off at, but think about this too. You get a beginner, all right? And now look, I'm a beginner as far as I'm concerned with them. Can I twirl a 30-pound club? Yeah, I know I can. But is it going to be correct? Is it going to be beneficial, or am I going to end up screwing myself up? And the lighter clubs for me have been a godsend because you know, you can learn the patterns you got to do, learn how to move this thing, and really, I'm not going to hurt myself using a much lesser weight. Is it, being with all the experience you got, Rick, and being a teacher, would you agree with that? I mean, if I came to you, regardless, you know, I'm lifting a 400-pound stone, Rick, but I really want to get into this club stuff. I want to bring this into now my training, and I want to do it for the rest of my life. What would you initially do with somebody like me? Or for that matter, how about just somebody off the street that wants to try them and they have no experience with a club?
Well, again, if they wanted to try traditional Indian club training, I would do what was done with me a few years ago. I met with a guy, another legend in club swinging named Richard Army McGuire, and I went to his home, and he handed me these one-pound clubs.
Yep.
And I told him, I said, listen, Mr. McGuire, with all due respect, I can lift a lot of weight. I weigh 250 pounds myself. I've even done the 80-pound club with two hands. I've done that a few times in front of Bud Jeffries. And so I told him this, and he said to me, he goes, yeah, kid, you look pretty strong. Maybe I'll give you 2-pound clubs. So he gives me these. He gives me these 2-pound clubs, and 20 minutes later, I'm dripping with sweat. I'm
yep.
exhausted.
Yep.
Step slowly into the waters with clubs. Okay.
Yep.
Again, it is a different stress physiologically on your frame. It is not a heavy barbell that is loaded close to your spine. It is a lot lighter, but it is a lot farther away from your spine, and that spells, caution, at least caution, maybe danger to your connective tissues and your tendons. And it's good to have a strong grip, of course, and most of the people that listen to your show do work on their grip. But all that strong grip is going to do is going to enable you to hold this potentially dangerous weight farther away from your spine. So
yep.
So those of us with a strong grip, we have to be especially careful with a club, because we feel that because we can grip this thing, we can start swinging away, and it's just not the case. Start very light. If you do Indian clubs, learn the moves as well as you can with 1 and 2 pounds. Remember, the Indian clubs or those patterns are basically used for restorative after a heavy workout, you go to
sure.
those. If you want to build strength, you're going to go more into the directly heavier clubs, such as the ones you have with Addicts, the ones that are made
yep.
by Don Gioffredino, that start
yep.
anywhere from 5 to 25 pounds. And for somebody who deadlifts 600 pounds or somebody who bench presses 400 pounds, a 20-pound club doesn't sound like much. But it is a whole different stress on your body. I promise you, 20 pounds is a very quality working instrument. It's a tremendous tool. 20 pounds put it this way. I'm a trainer. With a 20-pound club, I could take a college football linebacker and knock him on his back in
yeah.
10 minutes trying to work out with a 20-pound club. If he's never done it before, I promise
yep.
you, he will miss a week of workouts recouping from what I put him through in a 10-minute workout with a 20-pound club. Absolutely.
Well,
no problem with that.
No, I'm sure of that, because I've just messed with him a little bit, and I just love I'll tell you what I've been doing, Rick. I like doing things in between my sets. You know, if I'm going to do a heavy set of dead stop squats, or I'm going to pull those, I'm going to do the hand thigh deadlift with the 55-gallon drums, whatever it's going to be, thick bar work, but it's always going to be something very heavy. I'll go in between sets and I'll do some club work, mainly doing the shoulder stuff, you know, round behind the back of the head, come back down to the side I started it with from, and then, you know, go to the other side. And two things, obviously it's definitely helping me with my training and recovery, but I'm a big believer in when you're doing things very heavy and your mind is just so glued to everything, it's good at times to go in between a set and break things up a little bit, because sometimes you need just a little bit of a distraction, because when you come back from that distraction, it's hit different parts of the body. By that, I mean, like, all right, say I'll go out and I'm going to go for a 600-pound dead stop squat. So I'm going to go out, get a swig of water, spit it out, maybe grab a very light kettlebell. It might not be any more than 16-kilo bell. And say I go out and do 20 swings, like ripping fast. Well, what that does to me is it energizes the hell out of my system, especially mentally, because for anybody that's never done anything dead stop, it puts tremendous load on you, not only physically, but mentally. It's like somebody opening up your head and draining your brains out of it, literally. And I found through experience that this not only motivates me mentally, but it fires everything up again. The neurons are kicking. I'm ready to go in and nail that big squat. 9 times out of 10, I'll get it. And if I don't get it, then it's a nice big heavy isometric, and we get it the next time. So the benefits I see of any of that – now, I obviously, I've got the short 8X club. I don't have a big mace. That's fine. But – I find with and I've never, you know, I do some stuff on off days, and that's what I want to ask you. What I'm doing between sets, number one, would you advise that to people that are thinking about or getting into using clubs and maces and even kettlebells, something that is someone who is experienced that wants kind of a little bit of a detour, say for a few minutes to get ready to go in and slam something again, and is getting health benefits from it, would you agree that's something good to do, or would you not do that during a workout?
I absolutely agree that that's a great way to initiate yourself with the club. Again, nobody's going to jump ship and go from doing super heavy squats and deadlifts and say, forget that. I'm just going to do clubs from now on. Nobody does that. But take, for example, in the mental realm, if somebody's learning algebra, calculus, geometry, and they're going for a half hour busting their brain trying to learn some new equations and things like that, and it's really racking their brain, and then they put their book down and they go get a swig of water, and on the way back to their desk they might hum a tune, they might sing a song that's they're still using their brain, but it's a different way of doing it. Okay, I hope that I hope that analogy makes sense. You're doing dead stop work, you're doing your hand thigh deadlift, you're doing rack work. And then you put it down, you grab a club, you swing it around your head for a few reps and maybe a couple of sets of shoulder swipes or a mill or a cast. And these are all terms that are easily learned once you start researching clubs. We've all put stuff out there. But you do a few of that, then you go back to what has been your bread and butter for your training. An excellent way to do it. I would say that on the days that you do maybe heavy shoulder work, especially heavy tricep work, your tricep tendon will be very much worked with club work. So on days that you do, let's say heavy benching or pressing, you might add a few sets of club work. I would not do it on the other days. Like let's say Monday and Thursday, you're doing your heavy benching. I wouldn't do club work on Tuesday and Friday, because basically you're blasting your tricep tendons and your elbow tendons every day. So do it on the same work, not with the same intensity that you're doing your pressing and your shoulder and tricep work. Just add it in slowly. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. And again, all these moves that I recommend, the various shoulder casts and the swings and the swipes, they're easily researched on YouTube. Just type it in, type in club training, type in Indian club training. These things are mm-hmm. absolutely learned, free of charge on YouTube. Thank goodness. So it's not,
yeah.
It's not like you have to go out and buy a bunch of courses and things like that.
And you know something, Rick, we hit it with the courses, and I'll get right back to you. You and I both know we've all bought things through the years. Some are good or some are bad. And this is what I see with my business here. You know, you deal with good people, bad people when you're trying to build your site, and eventually you're going to hit upon somebody good. But you're going to stumble and spend a lot of money. And that's kind of like my big pet peeve with everything right now. It's like because – when we get to the catbird seat where we want to be, we are going to create products, very low cost products to get into a business. You know, how to build a WordPress site, how to set up a blog, how to introduce yourself to social media. Because just like what we're talking about with learning how to work with clubs, there's a lot of stuff out there. I think like anything in the world, you know, you don't know. You could be suspect. It might not work for you. And you flushed a lot of money down the drain. And that's what I want to do like right now, especially with business and anything we do here. Anybody that's on here, you know, everybody wants to have a good product that, you know, like that's why I'm asking Rick today. This is why we talked about melding the two together, you know. I don't talk to a ton of people about this, but I haven't ever heard really anybody anywhere, you know, unless I go to a seminar, I'm sure, which I haven't gone. We've never had anybody touch upon this subject, the two together, and we've been up for a year and a half. So my point of the matter is no matter what you're introduced to, thank God for YouTube, you're right, because, you know, even that you got to be careful of. We know that. But when Rick's out there or a guy like Steve Cotter or any of these guys – you know, when you got Powell Veduto out there, you know, you look at the stuff that guy does. I mean, wait till you hear that show, Rick. It was absolutely amazing talking about how overweight he was and everything. And you look at him now, the guy looks like a piece of steel rod, man. And
let me tell you, I was so excited when I found out about your podcast with both yep. Powell and Adrian O'Brien, because in yep. the same week, I was able to stay with both of those gentlemen at their respective homes, one in Ireland and one in Norway. And yep. of course I've known Adrian a bit longer, but, yep. but both of those solid gold people and absolutely dedicated to what they do. And yet it does not stop them from being fabulous people, excellent family men. And Pavel Veduto, he's unlike anyone in this game. He is I'll tell you this, when I was first found out I was going to go to Norway and meet with him, I spoke with a mutual friend of his, and he said, Pavel's a great guy. He'll bend over backwards for you. He's a fine gentleman, but yet, you know, upon meeting him that this is not somebody you mess with. And it's so true. He's got this look in his eyes, kind of like a wolf in the wild.
Yep.
Great guy. I can't wait to go back to Norway to his gym. When I stood outside of his gym, I'd seen it so many times on YouTube. I actually got emotional, Eric, standing outside in front of his gym. I'm actually here. It's a great gym. Great place. Yeah, he's a great person.
Oh, not only that too, you're going to love it, Rick. I haven't said it to anybody, but, I you know, this is a great place to be in, where, you know, you're saying, I don't know if I've got enough room anymore, but like Adrian, he's going to be a guest now every month on the show too. So we got him on every month, my friend.
Listen, when you put those shows out, I always share them with all my group and all my
list. Oh, I know, because you do. I do. And I'll make sure you get in the loop when I put them out. I'll make sure you're contacted. And I appreciate that, what you do for me. These guys, like yourself, not only outstanding athletes, but you hit it with Powell. It's like and Adrian too. I mean, that was the first thing Adrian came in, the first time we had him on. He's been on twice now. Family comes first. I mean, you know, his kids, his wife, and then, you know, he leads into, like we say here, his family in the gym. And it's so important and so vital. you know, and I know we've kind of swayed a little bit from what we're doing, but this is very important too, because, you know, Rick will tell you, and anybody, you know, and this is why we've had such success here. We'll have a subject, and unless it's something that we feel we need to talk about, Rick can tell you, we're on here stone cold. I'm not sending Rick 10 questions. I won't do that. I've had people have come on here and said, well, when are you going to send me the questions? I said, don't bother coming on if you want questions. Well, I need to know. I said, number one, the integrity of this show and the way I operate and the way I live my life, you're not going to get any screwy shit said to you, and you're not going to get any surprises, all right? And they're like put back. And it's like, well, maybe you need to come on this show and find out what a real podcast and what someone that really cares about is doing and how they conduct themselves, because like these gentlemen and yourself, you're very good at what you do. You don't have to be personable with people, because chances are people are going to seek you out anyways. And you and I both know there's a lot of people that are very good that have, well, I'm trying to think. My mother used to always say, the personality of what the hell was it? And it was good. And if I forget it, I'm going to be really pissed. It was like the personality somewhat to equate it like of a rattlesnake, you know? And, it doesn't need to be done. You don't need to be that way to people at all. You know something? I've always been a big believer. If you're really good at something, you don't have to tell anybody. Like you said with Powell, you looked in his eyes and you knew right there was a giant. See, when you can figure that out, you've got the whole thing set. And as my chiropractor used to call me, and I love John Ridge, and we miss him like crazy. We lost him almost 2 years ago. He used to send me, when he and his wife would travel a little bit, he was a chiropractor, and I went to him for 20 years. And he used to always send me Tigers postcards, and he used to always put under it, he used to call me Silent Strength all the time.
Wow.
And I thought, what a tribute, man. You know, and I want to get to the show back to it, but I want to tell you something else. When I went to Iceland in 2008 with Bill Crawford and everybody through Iron Mine, I never had a major injury. And, you know, Bill blew his bicep like I did there. It was pretty hard to deal with at first because, you know, you're very unsure what's going to happen. You know, you need surgery. How long are you going to be knocked out? Are you going to be able to lift like you did again? There's a billion things going through your head. And I remember when I got home and we had things done and I went over to see John Ridge, and he was from New Hampshire and he still had that accent. He reminded me of my father a lot. My father was born in Boston. He never lost that Bostonian accent. I used to love to hear the way they talk. And he was a very big mentor to me, especially, you know, my dad had been gone quite a while. He died young from cancer. And John was a big force in pushing me with this business especially. And I remember when I came back from Iceland, and I was pretty hurt, man. I think it was just kind of a little feeling sorry for myself a little bit. Okay, what do we got to figure out doing? We'll get through it. And I remember he had his father's barber chair from New Hampshire, and it was beautiful. It was the old marble style. And when his dad passed away, John had it right in one of his seating rooms, literally. He was so proud of it. And I used to sit in it all the time, and we'd talk. And John was one of the most soothing people you would ever talk to. He was another guy you don't screw around with, and you knew it. But, man, oh, man, anybody that walked in, when you walked in that door, Rick, you know places, you could just feel the air, how calming it was. And I don't live a real calming life. I'm not, you know, I go with the flow, whatever, okay? You know, I'm an aggressive beast, but John was too, but in a different way. So I can remember sitting there, and make a long story short, and he said to me, how are you, you know? And I was like, I'm all right. I said, we're going to get through this. I said, but it was a hard ride home on Icelandic Air. To me, it felt like failure and all this stuff. And I said, I was kind of ashamed of myself. And he goes, ashamed of yourself? And I was like, yeah. I said, I felt I let myself down, and a lot of people were, you know, very pleased to see me go. Obviously, you got the naysayers, or you're going to get hurt, blah, blah, blah. And he said to me like this, he goes, never forget, you're one of a handful of very few that even went over and attempted that stone. Right. He said, You got nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of. And he goes, I know you're going to go over there, and I know you're going to cave the thing in next time. And I never thought on that premise that, hey, I was one of the few guys in the whole world, and it's got a history of great people lifting it and failing with it. But I had the balls to get on that plane, train my ass off for a year to go there, and make an attempt at something that most people can't even fathom. So, you know, it was a very nice thing John said to me. I never forgot that, and he meant it wholeheartedly, and I never equated those things. You know, think about all the things that you did you should be proud of. Injuries happen. That's the name of our game here. But, you know, if you want to comment on anything, go ahead. I mean, I kind of went off the cube a little bit there, but when we started talking about those guys, Adrian and Powell and all that, you know, and we're talking about personalities and how genuine these men are and what good people they are, but they're the kind of dudes you just don't screw around with either. And they don't have to show that because they're comfortable in their own skin. It just reminded me so much of John, because I'll tell you what, I used to go see John every Friday, and it's been almost 2 years now. And I got to tell you, there's been Fridays at times when I'd go out and I'd start over to his place and I'd have to turn around. That he was that important to me in my life, that the body and mind still thinks, okay, we go Friday there at 2:30 every week, and we don't anymore. And I will say this, and I'm not a touchy-feely guy at all, but I love John, and I miss John more than most people I've ever come in contact with. So it's back to you, sir.
Yeah, well, you touched on a very important point when you said you felt like a failure coming home from Iceland, but you attempted a stone that just by your very attempting it, put you into a select group of people. Remember, our this is so important to remember that our poor workouts are workouts that we're embarrassed for our buddies to see, are workouts that we kind of wonder, man, was it really worth the effort today? Those workouts are absolutely max attempts or beyond max attempts for 99.9% of the population of the planet. Okay. Yep. We feel bad because we failed on the fifth set of something that most people would never in their life attempt. We're the 0.1%, the rare air of a group of people that push ourselves to the limit almost every time we go into the gym. And it's important to keep our focus on where it is. And when you deal with people like Paul Wobaduto or Adrian O'Brien, you know, Adrian lives in a small city in Ireland, Kilmallock. Yep. And he's known all through the city. I remember driving in a car with him. People are driving by waving to him and things like that. He's well known because he's such a quality person. His mother and sister run a coffee shop in there. And I remember sitting in there and just everybody who walked by the shop, everybody who comes to the shop, they know Adrian. They know his family. He's quality people. And he does incredible things in Ireland with the hurling team. I remember on the show, he was trying to tell you what hurling was. You've got to find out what it is. It's the fastest sport on grass. It's like field hockey on steroids. It's incredible.
I'll tell you something right now. He was talking about juggling.
Right, right. He does that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he sent me a video. Well, I went out and bought two wiffle balls yesterday, and I'm going to start juggling today.
You need three. You need three to start juggling, Eric. Yeah, he had me juggling in his gym too. So it's. What it does for you, it's a whole different mindset. You know what I do when I juggle now? This is an interesting little thing, is I'll be in the supermarket, and sometimes I'll see some kids in the aisle, and I'll be over by the oranges, and I'll act like I'm ignoring them, but I'll pick up three oranges, and I'll start juggling them really quick, and I'll put them down, and I'll walk away. And if I come back in 10 minutes, there's oranges all over the floor.
Over the floor. That's great, though, man. I mean, but do you see the greatest thing about all this, whether we're talking about implementing clubs within your weight workout, or we're talking about stand-up people, or we're talking about you going in a grocery store showing some kids how to do it? I think that's magnificent, because you know what? Those are the things that kids should be thinking about and doing, the coordinated things. Pass, fail, or whatever. It doesn't matter. you know, this is what I want for all, not only our family of listeners, but all the people that we're going to be branching out to, all the different people that, you know, you might recommend to me, or I'll go out and search them out, and somehow we always make contact, and we get them on the show. And it was like Powell said to me the other day, he's like, he goes, you know, I can't believe how great this show is. He goes, you know, I didn't even know it was out there. And the same way with Adrian. Adrian said to me, he goes, right on air, he was like, I've never had a show that flowed so easy with anybody I've been on. And he goes, you know, and I don't like saying this on the air because Clint Darden, a ton of people said this to me. They're like, You're so professional on the show. You make it very easy for people to come on and have dialogue with you. And as Clint says to me, among others, he's like, and I said this to you before he came on air, because, you know, we announced now that we're streaming. He said, someone's going to grab you up, man. He goes, it's not going to be if, it's going to be when. He goes, you're just not at that point where you've just hit every place in the whole world. I was like, well, I appreciate that. But the main thing right now, my obligation here, and it will always be, is to everybody that's associated with me on the show, but our family out there and all the potential people we can pick up. Because when you got class acts like you and the other folks we've talked about, I mean, you look at the list of people I started reading off here. It's like there's nobody out here that, you know, I feel Clint said this to me, and I never even thought it this way. He goes, I've been on so many shows, radio, things like that. He goes, I've never seen a show where you've taken all these different genres of sports, lifting, everything, and you've got them all tied together. And he's like, did you do this out of just thought, or did it just come? I said, I couldn't tell you, man. I do one thing. That was a big thing John Ridge used to say to me. Follow your innate intelligence, man. Learn how to listen to yourself. Learn how to be open. Believe in things that are greater than yourself. And I've subscribed, and I always have. You know, I mean, I come from we don't get into religion and politics here, but we do talk and make things. I mean, I come from a Italian Catholic family. That's part of my life. That's part of my upbringing. It's part of what I believe. Whether I go and do this or do that, I don't comment on it. That's nobody's business but my own. If I talk offline, that's different, but we don't bring that here. But the point of the matter is, Rick, it's like, learn to follow your heart, as they say. Learn to be open. I didn't get to where I got right now by having a closed mind or saying, oh God, this one did this to me, I quit. Or this one did this, and I'm going to concentrate on wrecking them. Well, I've discovered something. I've said this on show after show, and I try to give people these tidbits of information instead of going out and paying for the one line I'm going to say to you right now, $1,000, and the rest of this stuff is useless. Here's what I'll tell you right now. If you're a businessman or woman, I'm not saying person. I address both parties. Do this. If someone wrongs you in your business, and I've had a few people here not very kind after I was very kind to them and busted my ass for them, and they aren't on the show anymore, and they did it to themselves, believe me. If you're concerned about what they think of you or others that they're bad-mouthing you with, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're not doing your work for your business. And when you do that, you shortchange yourself and hurt yourself. And let's face it, all of us, think consciously for a minute. How many of us want to hurt ourselves? So I'll give it back to you, Rick. Comment on anything you want here. I know we've kind of strayed, but this information we're giving between the clubs and the weights and the philosophy, this is what this is all about, man. I know you like talking about it, and it's fine. So hit it, whatever you want to hit.
Well, I'll touch on the last thing you said about the people that may harm you in this business and things like that, and carrying that mindset with you. Because we talked about that last time I was on the show. We talked about haters and things like that. Well, to put it simply, those that mind don't matter, and those that matter don't mind. You're good. Yep. You're going to collect a few of those along the road, and if you stop and kick at every dog that barks at you on your road, you're not going to get very far, because there are going to be some, but there's something down the road waiting better for you. And you're going to go down this road. You're going to meet your Adrian O'Briens. You're going to meet your Pavel Wadutos, and there are going to be people that you keep with you on your journey. And you're always going to go back to them. Yes, there's going to be a few others, that aren't so memorable, but let go of them. You know, relationships,
yeah.
A relationship is kind of like a good book or a book. When you're done with it, put it down respectfully. Maybe somebody else can learn from it. But if it's good, you'll remember it. If it isn't good, well, go on to something else.
Yeah.
But let's see, a month ago, no, 2 weeks ago, I was in Kansas with the Great Plains Kettlebell Club, and I did a seminar there, and there was a strongman expo in Salina, Kansas. And when it's all done, we're all at a restaurant, and I realized for a minute, you know, I'm talking with some nice people, and I'm there with world record holders. Okay. In kettlebell lifting, Kimberly Fox set a world record just last weekend. She was in San Diego. I was there, and I watched her in the kettlebell world, we call a long cycle, double cleated jerks. And she sets a world record. And these are very personable people, very kind, loving people who have families, and yet they run businesses and break records as a part of their life. And they're fabulous people to be around.
Yeah,
those are the kind of people that you're having on your show, and that's why your show is growing.
Well, and I thank you for that. And you know, when you bring topics up like this, you know, and we talk about putting things together and building quality workouts, and then we talk about building quality people, because there's no way you can't listen to us, and I'm talking about you and I right now. There's no way you can't sit down and listen to this show, or if you're in your car going to work. And you know, you and I both know most people hate their jobs. A lot of people don't like, you know, I've been in the thick of hearing this stuff. You know, they're always pissing and moaning about their spouse, or their kids aren't going to amount to anything, or they're out of shape, or, you know, the typical thing, okay? And we let a lot of things externally really influence us. I mean, a lot of people do, and you got to learn to get away from that. But you know what? I dare anybody to say they wouldn't listen to something like this on the way to work and not get out of your car and you're pumped as hell, whether it's for an hour, whether it's for half a day, or whether it's for the full day. You keep digesting food like this, food for thought, as they say, food for physicality. It can't do anything but change you for the better. The point of the matter is you got to get off that merry-go-round that everybody seems to be on. And you know what? Not be afraid to lead and to take the journey, as we say. You know, no one's going to get anything right away. It's going to be one foot in front of the other. You're going to hit potholes. You know, you're going to get into new things. Look, we were talking about clubs. I never did any club work, you know, to speak. But I'll tell you what, I do it now. Is there a lot more for me to learn? Yeah. But what I want to do is I want to incorporate this into my weight training, which I'm doing now, and get the best out of both. Am I ever going to be a club mace guy? I don't know. Who knows? I can't tell you what the future is. I dig doing it. But right now, like tonight, I'm going to be lifting a 2-inch handle, a clean and press overhead with a dumbbell. I'm going to be doing bent rows with dumbbells tonight. Obviously, some heavy neck work. I always do a lot of hand work, obviously. And I'll work the 8X club in tonight with, you know, the shoulder work I described in the beginning to keep the girdle real strong. Do I want to amplify that stuff? Absolutely. I was watching Powell the other day, you know, on one knee, swinging that sucker around. I mean, if that thing ever let go, it'd take your head right off. You know, I mean, I love that power, man. I love anything that distributes, pushes power out, and then pushes the power right back out at you, back at you. And this is the way I incorporate that stuff into my weight training, because everything that I do, depending on, it doesn't matter. It could be a night where you're not on your game, you know, maybe mentally some stuff, but then there's those nights when you could light the sky up. You're so intense. And I go at everything the same way. You know, it might not be 25 reps on one set tonight. It might only be 12. But you got to learn how to master your mentality like that, because when you know you're not at your best, maybe you're not as sharp as you ought to be, you gauge your training to the way you are that night. One thing I've learned through the years, the more you push it, the better chance you've got of either massive failure – injury, or we all know the dreaded overtraining. And I love hearing people say there's no such thing. I will disagree with you wholeheartedly. You push your nervous system hard enough, long enough, and you will break. There's no doubt about it. So rather than behave like that, learn how to do these things. Learn how to incorporate these clubs. Learn how to incorporate your mind properly into what you do. And you know, this is what we were just saying. You are going to reap the rewards of this, but it's like anything. Take your time, be patient, and grow. That's what we were talking about with the company here, M&M. Who'd ever think? 8 months ago, the streaming fell right apart. It went down the tubes. So for the last 7.5 months now, I've been pushing the dial as hard as I can with these people. They came to the table with what they had. I came with what I had. Guess what? Now we are united. Now we're going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And the biggest thing, and I've said this to Rick and everybody on here, we all have a message here. And our message is better than anybody's. I don't care who's out there. And I've got to be partial like that. That's just the way we work here. Just think. One distribution company alone we have has 63 million listeners to it. Can you imagine if we get 1%? And I'm shooting low there. Right. 6 million people? Are you kidding me? Do you know what that does for motivation and muscle? Besides, not only builds the equity of the business so we can do more and more things and grow, because as everybody knows here, I told Rick, we have the capability, it looks like. Now, I'm going to find out tomorrow afternoon. We might be able to go live a year ahead of what I wanted to do. I'll give it back to you, Rick, but it's very exciting things. It's very exciting to bring in, because we're concentrating on clubs and weightlifting. Very exciting for me and the listeners once they hear this show to bring this stuff into your training. It gives you another shot in the arm, as they say. Same thing with the business. Who'd ever think now we're sitting here 5 days into it, we're streaming now. Same thing with when we talk about Pavel and you know, Jed Johnson's of the world and James Fuller's and Rick Brown's and Donnie G. Fardino's and you know, Adrian O'Brien's and on and on and on. Who'd ever think? Well, it was an idea, a premise, and you know what? You got to be a dog. You got to be a pit bull with the tenacity of, I don't know what, a million pit bulls, and you have to grab on everybody, not let go, reinforce it no matter what happens to you, and keep, as Rocky said in Rocky Balboa, how much can you take and keep moving forward? That's how winning is done. Those words, if I had students, and I've got them here, but if I had a place where I was training 25, we'll say football players getting ready for the fall, they would listen to that little three and a half minute speech he gave his son twice a day. The minute they walked in and the time they left, I wouldn't care if they were so sick of it, they shut their ears off to it, because I'm telling you what, once you embed that into your mind, there's no way of failure. Go ahead, Rick. I said a lot, but you got the floor.
I know very well the speech you're talking about. Everybody needs to Google search that Rocky Balboa speech and memorize it. Because if you don't, you're gonna be like so many other people in the graveyard of, I used to train, and we you and I both meet people like that every day. They see what we do, and they say, well, you know what I used to do? And they're going to tell you about some great thing they did back when they were in college or back when they were in the military.
Yeah.
And decades have gone by since then. Well, what we talk about is what we do currently, what I did 24 or 48 hours ago, what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's the way you stay relevant. That's the way you stay active. And the great thing about club and mace training is that you don't have to jump ship from what you've been doing. You can add one chapter to your training. You can add one club movement. You can add one mace movement. You don't have to embrace it in its totality like I have. I mean, I'm a mace club guy. It's I do other things, but that's what I'm known for. But you don't have to jump ship and abandon what you have been doing and what has worked well for you. This is one more arrow to add to your quiver and one more bullet for your gun, so to speak. And it's easy to learn. You just have to get the right instruction, but it's all out there. Actually, I'm putting together something with Don Gioffredino an 8-week online training course for club and mace. Available through the Vintage Strength page on Facebook. It starts July 25th. It's nice. with myself, Don Gioffredino, world record holder Valerie Pawlowski, and mace champion Jessica Hudding. The four of us will be teaching mace work and club work. And again, Vintage Strength page on Facebook. It's all out there. The information that we want, it's out there. You don't have to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do nothing else. It's just something you add. It's another song to your playlist, you might say. And that's what I like about it. That's how I got into it. I started adding one club work, one bit of the clubs. I didn't know if they would be for me, and I ended up falling in love with it. And I did end up jumping ship. I don't do powerlifting anymore. I don't do all that stuff. But, you find out about these things and certain things resonate with you. And you develop a passion that you know will last for the length of your life. And it will actually extend your life.
Yeah. And you know something? This is what I love about this show so much. It's like, and he's right. Clint's right. I mean, just think now. We're talking about marrying clubs and weights. I mean, This is to me, and it might sound over and over redundant, but you know something I learned in college from one of my favorite professors, Frank Klein? Repetition is king. And the more we can repeat this great stuff, and the more we can influence, and the more we can bring in the younger, middle-aged, and older, because we've got people in their 70s listening to this show. I believe I got one woman who's in her 80s. We've got now 5 for 15, where we do 15, 18 minutes. It comes at you like a hurricane, and it's strictly inspiration, drive, living right, thinking correctly. And I'm getting notes from people now, Rick, where I'm getting people that are walking and doing light fitness and saying to me, I listen to your shows because they inspire me so much to do this. Now, look. I'm not patting myself on the back at all, but I'm going to tell you something. Everybody here on the show, the family, I couldn't be more happy, man, and more proud. I mean, this is what it's all about, and that's what we're – all the stuff we talked about with Rick this morning, whether we're talking about marrying clubs into weightlifting or stone lifting or, you know, doing them on their own or and all the philosophy we just gave you, the beliefs we have, the way we see things, the things we've lived. This is what's the most important thing. And, you know, it's great to be great in a weight room. It's great to be, be able to have maces flying all over the place and short Indian clubs. It's great. But you know what really matters is when you're out on the street and someone might ask you a question because they can tell visibly that you're an athlete. Or you might be somewhere where, you know, obviously if you have good command of yourself in the language, people are going to flock to you, and you have an obligation to show people that you're not some jughead that just does exercise for the hell of it, all right? That's more important to me than being able to lift a 400-pound stone, and I know probably people are going to be scratching their head and saying, is that guy nuts? No, I'm not nuts. Well, I am nuts, but I'm not nuts in respect to I believe that, yep, I'm very lucky. I've been very gifted to be able to do that. But you know what? When you can walk in there and command the room or command what's around you because of what you've done, the standards you've built, that's the most important thing. And when you can do that, that's how you get shows like Eminem and you get seminars and you get these different things like Donnie and Rick will do together where they're nothing but win-win for anybody who gets involved and purchases. So whatever you want to summarize, Rick, give out all your information. I'll give mine, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I'll end by saying this. Last week, I was really grateful. 2 weeks ago, when I was in Kansas, I did a seminar and I met a gentleman, David Glisson. He runs Southern Fried Strength Training in Mississippi, and he came to my seminar and we hit it off. We had spoke on the phone before, but we hit it off, and so I told him about an event in San Diego last week, and he came and stayed with me. I did with him what I do with everybody who visits Southern California. And I pick him up at the airport. I took him right to the greatest garage gym on the planet. It's run yep. by a guy named Steve Bellinger, hopefully a future guest on your show.
Okay.
Steve Bellinger of Old School Bodybuilding Club. Now this is a garage gym where, mind you, Pavel Tsatsouline has trained there. Bud Jeffries has trained there. He's held grip contests there. It's a garage gym unlike any other. So I'm there, and I took Mr. Glisson from Southern Fried Strength Training to see Steve Bellinger, to see the great garage gym. And there's an 80-pound club there. And I asked him, he was still new to club work. And I asked him, do you think you can lift this club? And he says, I reckon I can. And he picks this club up, and we've got it on film. He's able to lift the club, to swing it, to cast it around his head and his shoulder. We actually went up to a 100-pound club that day, both he and
wow.
I and Steve. And we did 100-pound clubs that day. And these are the kind of people that I'm comfortable with. They're solid gold people. They're quality people. And we do incredible physical things. And the physical stuff we do is secondary. It's the quality of the heart, and the quality of the person, the relationships you develop along the way. And that's what's meaningful to me.
Yeah. I think anybody that's got a hold on it like we do is going to say the same thing, because the world needs guys and girls like us out there right now more than ever, in my opinion. And like I said, I don't speak for anybody here, but I have an obligation to that, and I've always felt that way. But now we have the platform to get this out, and this is my main thing with everything. Let's get our messages out there where we couldn't get before. You know, let's get together at some point on a personal level, and let's go speak places. You know, as we grow and evolve bigger and bigger, it's going to leave me opportunities to do that. I mean, how cool is it going to be to go and go with somebody? Steven Santangelo wants to go with me to Iceland now. How great would that be? He could run. We could have a podcast as long as we got Wi-Fi in the sheep pen. He could literally, give us obviously the play-by-play with me, whether I pass, fail, or nail it, and have it filmed right there. Can you imagine how intense that would be? You would be able to see that live over the internet if we've got the ability to do that. It's the same way with, you know, Adam Glass wants to go to Scotland next year with me to go lift the Invern, the Denny's, and then I want to go next year to Spain and learn how to bass stone lift for a month. You know, it costs a lot of money to do that, and those are the plans on the docket, but who knows, things change. You know, we want to go live. It's all this stuff is just going to benefit everybody. Yeah, it's going to be things I want to do, but you know what, as my dad said, be a leader, not a follower, and lead by example, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I've said this from the beginning, and I say this to everybody. I don't care what you lift. I don't care what you swing with a mace, all right? What I care about is what you have to offer all of us, what you want to be part of, and you should not feel that you're left out because you're not pulling a 400-pound stone or you're not taking a mace and be able to swing it to the moon. Are those all good things? Hell yeah. But you know what? Rick will tell you, like myself, I started with a sand set, a weight set, leaked all over in a wooden bench. So don't tell me you can't do it, right? Don't tell me you can't do it. So that's it. But Rick, finish up anything you want, because I know that you and I could probably go for another hour, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's the weekend at my house. Iron guys getting together, talking the night away. But, yeah, again, I would just like to remind people that if even slightly interested in club and mace work, on the Vintage Strength page on Facebook, starting July 25th, 8 weeks of live training with myself, Don Gioffredino, who invented the ADX club, world record holder Valerie Pulowski in kettlebell lifting, and mace champion Jessica Huttig. The four of us will be training people. You can actually learn what we do from our four individual locations, Donnie in Florida, the two ladies in the Northeast, and myself in California. All of us patched in together, and that's a great way to introduce yourself to mace and club training. But again, whatever it is that gets you off the couch, embrace it totally. Don't tiptoe into this. grab it because this will save your life. This will give you increased passion for something physical. It's better than sitting on the couch. It's better than just watching television. That's what the masses do. And that they're just doing that, and they're waiting for their heart attack. They're waiting. They're waiting to be carried away or put into the home. Don't be one of those people. Grab life by the horns. The horns that we grab life by are usually 2-inch handles, but we grab heavy things and we move them, we bend them, we break them, or we swing them and we lift them. And that's what we do, and that's what keeps us passionate, keeps us excited about every new day that we're grateful to have.
Yeah, I agree. I know you're out on Facebook. Give any of that out, Rick, and I'll move into my end and just hang on, please.
Okay. Facebook, Rick Brown, R-I-K Brown, Instagram, @ Mr. Maceman. Best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, awesome. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, all right? You're going to see a lot of big changes coming, too. I'm not going to get into that right now because we're having an avalanche of things right now. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, free ebook, 10 paragraphs, commit, take action. As I said before, simplicity works the best. You don't need to muddle up your life. And as Rick was saying, the same thing with kettle, you know, anything with maces and the short clubs, you know, Donnie stuff with 8X, I mean, top stuff. Donnie, you know, I'm going to give him a plug like I always do. Super guy to work with, and he really gives a shit about what he does, and that's the way we are here. So, you know, it's like any of that stuff, man. It's going to take a little while. You're going to crawl, and you're going to take some steps, and then you're going to be as good as you want to be, and that's the way life is, man. Get used to it. Also, too, top 10 ways, we already talked about that. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. They're all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Go out. Very cheap. But, boy, they are loaded with information, and I'm telling you right now, if you really want, as Rick said, take the bull by the horns, these two products will do it. There's nothing there you can't understand, and if you need help, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Also, too, as I said, you know, Rick's been on here a number of times. We'll have the new show up very quickly. I've got a lot of shows, man. I was telling Rick, I think this is the 19th show I've done since last Sunday, and I don't know why I did this, but I have not had a day off in a week, and we've got 3 tomorrow. Let me think. I got 3 tomorrow, big meeting in the afternoon about the podcast. I think I've got 3 on Tuesday. I've got 1 on Wednesday, and that's the only reason. I don't know why I didn't put a lot on that day. That's the only day for the rest of the week that I've got off. Not complaining, but I'm so dedicated to getting this thing up and going and whatever it takes to do it. And just to let you know, most people do 1 podcast a week. We'll be up to about 25 at that point. But you know what? That's the winning attitudes around here. We just keep chugging, man. Also, too, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And remember, when you go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast, go out and check all of them. We've got, I don't remember what was the last one I did. I think we're up to 466 podcasts already. We will hit 500, I hope, in September at some point. And I think we're going to have different people on to celebrate with us on it. I haven't decided yet, so stay tuned for that. So don't forget motivationmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Obviously, now you know that we are running 24/7 on internet radio. And I can give you a couple of the places that we are right now. We're on Shoutcast, and if you haven't ever heard of them, they have 63 million listeners, which is pretty interesting because who knows where that's going to take us. We're on AHA Radio, so if you have podcasting capability in your car, you can now get Motivation Muscle there, and you can check us out, too. Our feed is on TuneIn.com. So this includes, too, I didn't know that, it includes Xbox, Sonos, Samsung, and they're going to have more. So we're branching out all over. We're out on iTunes, but we're going to be out on Apple TV very shortly. So I'm going to have more and more stuff. It is very exciting. That's all I can tell you. I myself have broken my ass to get to where we are today, and all the people involved with me have been nothing but super, so much encouragement. And I owe a great debt of thanks to all of them, and I hope that I have helped you out also too. But we're just going to have a lot of fun. I got news for you. Hard work. We're starting to see the fruits of our success. If you'd like Rick and I to do a specific show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. You can contact me there. I'm sure we can come up with anything you need. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of encouragement. Few words can change your life. Believe me, I'm one of them. It is very important, and we do that here. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile, because that might be all they get that day. Thirdly, bend it, break it, push it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. Go out every time you train. And, you know, we're talking about maces and clubs. Go out and just learn it. Waste yourself a few times. Get involved. Get mentally involved with this stuff. Learn that it's more than just a hunk of iron or a hunk of stone. As Bill Crawford said yesterday, they're all alive. Listen, when you hear that show, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Also, too, the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone, says domination in blood red. We are domination. We don't follow anyone's path. We clear cut our own. And if you look at anything I write now, I have dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do, obliterate all your goals, and create new ones. And obviously the dent is when you've had one of those days or nights where things just haven't gone right in the weight room. Well, that 6 inches between your ears is called your brain. Go out and put the biggest dent in it and tell yourself over and over again you're going to get that the next time. I live by these three words now, and I'm not kidding you when I say that. I can't wait to write some of the stuff that's going on here behind the scenes and tell you there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm telling you right now, you want to go after this stuff, go after it. We're going to have stuff to help you out. And as I was saying to Rick before, we're not going to charge you $5,000 for it, because I know what it's like to live on a prayer and a shoestring. I want to help everybody I can. I want every one of you to think about being an entrepreneur. Your passion, your love, do that. So think about that. Obviously, too, no one's going to ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the very beginning and has been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through the speakers. That was one of the nicest things ever said to me. We will say that for the next 30 years. It just goes to show, you can still have aggression, passion, and be kind, and we got that all here. Rick Brown, as always, it's an honor to have you on the show. As I said, you and I easily could go on for another hour, but I won't have anything vocally left for the next 20 next week. So thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Go rest yourself, please. You do a lot.
Thanks, Rick. Okay. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you anyways. Rick's going to be on with us next month. We'll have this show up as fast as I can do it humanly possible. But you know what? Go out and make a difference in the world, and that's what it's all about. So for Rick Brown, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you soon, and never lose hope. I'm telling you, never lose hope, because you got more than you think you've got. So have a great weekend, what's left of it, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.